This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half-time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
Network Talk Sport. Powered by fans.
Johnson puts it in the air. Aidan Flint wins the goal.
It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw him. Is it going to be there? Yes! Yes! Oh my word!
Hello, good evening, and welcome to an episode of Hello from the Other Side, a Watford edition. This time I'm joined by Pete and Justin, Watford fans. How are we doing, chaps? Okay?
Yeah, all good. All good.
Oh, very good. I'm just reeling from the words, that's world class from Marcus Tudgay. words that have never been used in the English language before. But no, very good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, our the introduction to our podcast, it does make me smile. Obviously, the last two clips are very recent and make anyone Wednesdayite smile at this moment. So,
quite right too.
So, up on Wednesday night, 7:45 kickoff at Hillsborough, we are welcoming Watford for the return leg. So, guys, we'll just take you back to October time, and it was Danny Rule, our manager's first game in charge, visit to Watford. My first time to Vicarage Road, I've got to say. Liked it. Liked Vicarage Road. Didn't like the result, obviously. But yeah, it was a 1-0 loss for Sheffield Wednesday. What did you make of that game? I mean, Justin, I'll come to you first. Obviously, it was a new manager. You did not know what... I think he came in on the Tuesday and we played you guys on the Saturday. So, I mean, a narrow 1-0 after the absolute horror show of the manager previously that we had, that coming in, it was a much, much, much improved Sheffield Wednesday.
Well, it was October, wasn't it? It was end of October time, wasn't it? I think it was a Spria goal that settled the game. It was a while ago now, so I'd be hard pushed to pick out any highlights from it, Ash, I've got to be honest, but... I've got a feeling that was sort of the start of when we started to pick up results, wasn't it, Peter? Wasn't that sort of like what kicked our season off a little bit?
Because we'd had the 1-1 draw at Cardiff the week before. But up until then, we'd been kind of struggling a bit. But we knew, obviously, we weren't struggling in the full Cisco Munoz sense of the word. And of course, he was formerly at our place, and I don't know. We may touch on that.
But he was a stavior for your guys, weren't he?
Yeah. Well, he came in, and we got a guy called Vladimir Ivic, who was basically like having. I mean, if you could imagine a cross between Dracula and Satan, and give him a tracksuit, this is what this guy wanted. And he came in, and he saw it defensively. We were sorted. But going forward, even with nothing at all, and they bought in Ivic, and they bought in Cisco Munoz, and he took the handbrake off, and he just went, "Oh, go on, then go and play," go and do that. And he basically came in and had a Sweet Valentine CD, which we heard about all the time. So if they won, they get a bit of Neil Diamond. Strange bonus, I grant you, but it seemed to do the trick. And they went through, and then we got into the Premier League, and we could see he was struggling and kind of a little bit out of his depth, although his points to, you know, kind of thing at the time wasn't too bad. But hey, we're Watford, so we'll fire anybody normally, except this season. We don't quite know what's going on now. It was an odd game facing you, obviously, because we'd all been kind of licking our lips thinking, brilliant, well, this is 3 points, isn't it? You clearly looked more organised. And of course, you know, the player I think who everybody kind of looks at you guys and salivates is Barry Bannon, because I think he would do a job in most championship midfields very comfortably, thank you. Was quietly effective, I'll say, rather than devastating. And you could see that there was, and it took a relative kind of just that individual goal where Espria ran across the box and then reversed it in there. Yeah. But if it had gone to 0-0, we'd have been kicking ourselves, but we couldn't have really had that much to complain about. It seemed like, you know, from the reactions from your guys as well, that it seemed like an encouraging start, and that seems to have been what it's led to.
It was a much changed, much improved over 3-4 days on the training pitch with Danny Rule. I think we came out with something like 41% possession, which for an away team where we've been averaging 20-25, even at home under Cisco, it was that bad. So the change in the guys, that they just it was night and day. It really was. And Masaba, I think he went down for a penalty and he got overturned by the linesman.
Oh, I think you're right.
The penalty was given by the ref, yep. I believe, and we all thought that was it. And he got overturned.
It was a really peculiar one. It was a real kind of pregnant pause, right? What's going on? It was without VAR. We're going to make a big song and dance of this anyway. So, I mean, it was from our point of view, of course, it was refreshing. From your guys' point of view, it must have been heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's one of those where actually for me, and I don't know if you guys will agree about the officiating this season has been poor for everybody. I mean, obviously you only look at your own games, but I think for me it was poor, and it was refreshing to see the linesman overturn the ref. There's been times this season when the referee's assistant, sorry, they're not the linesman, have been just static, not want to do anything, leaving it to the ref to make all the decisions. So it was refreshing, even though it was a bit obviously frustrating for the Wednesdayites.
Ash, look at the age of us. He's a lino. Anything. Assistant nonsense. No, he's got a flat.
We're all professional here, Pete.
I'm on the wrong podcast again.
You're definitely not, mate. Honestly, we are far from professional on this.
We've never podcast. Been accused of that. That's right.
Espria came on. I know because I've got it here. 78th minute, four minutes later, took it down the wing, cut inside Dawson, and obviously scored 4 minutes later. And after that, we didn't even try and push that much for an equaliser. It was just Watford looked like they'd score. They had a couple of chances after that, but then that was it. So 1-0. You must have been happy, like you said just before we started, the thing that you were in a bit of a sticky situation yourselves with Valerie Ishmael.
We didn't start the season particularly well, and it wasn't looking great. And I think also it would have been probably 2 or 3 weeks before we played you where he was given a improved contract as well, and everyone went, hey, normally we sack managers when we're sort of like we are now. We don't give them improved contracts, so that was obviously a show of faith on behalf of the board there. But I do remember that game, and I just for some reason in my mind, to me, it's sort of it is a little bit of a turning point for some reason. It does to me feel as though it was after that we started to sort of go away and win games quite comfortably and stuff. And, you know, there was hiccups. We have had hiccups since then. Leicester have shown us why they're doing so well. They took us to bits. Talking about referees, was it Stoke, Peter, where the referee was just absolutely appalling? Was it Stoke when we played Stoke at home?
It may have been, but in fairness, our team came out in sympathy with him and were equally appalling. That was Bristol City. Yes, Stoke was poor. Before we'd played you last time, we'd played Cardiff, which I mentioned, which we drew 1-1. And that felt like a bit of a kind of, look, there's a line in the sand and no more, because we'd lost 3-0 away at Leeds. We'd lost 3-2 away at Middlesbrough, where Cameron Archer basically showed us exactly what we'd missed. Because like everybody in the Championship, we've all been kind of sniffing something going, is that Cameron Archer coming in? No, never mind. And then we also got our arses handed to us by Sunderland, where again we just didn't turn up. And so there was a real, and you've given him an improved, you know, kind of contract, really, is that kind of strange? And of course all Watford fans really want to do is have consistency and stick with a manager, because yeah, we will kind of laugh about it because it's, you know, what else are you going to do? but it was that game that sort of saw us through until the next international break. Going on, suddenly we've gone on like something like 19 games and we've lost three. So, yeah. You know, the games against Leicester, we should have at least got a draw against Ipswich, but Hoot had a bit of a brain fart and gave a goal away ridiculously. And there was another one which we lost. I can't remember which, but the rest of it has been, you know, pretty there. And Watford as a team over the last four, and most certainly over the last two seasons prior to that, we've always just been like, we've just looked like a ragtag of individuals who've turned up and just met. Whereas in fairness, you know, Valerian Ishmael, obviously previously of Parrish's, you know, not far from you. Barnsley, of course. Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
He's kind of at least got them playing, even if it's, on occasions, he could let the handbrake off a little bit more, I think, on occasions. But that's really kind of not being overly pedantic, but it's kind of possibly being a bit nitpicky. So we're pleased, and since then, we've kind of motored pretty well.
It's looking at the league table, you currently sit 10th. You're on 3 points off playoffs at the minute. So your form over the last five games is lost one, drawn three, won one. So you're a bit of up and down. Obviously, Wednesday night coming to Hillsborough, it'll be another loss, of course, because I'm very positive about my team. I've been wrong many times, obviously, in the position we are, but right. You've got to be positive. It's a one for us. We've seen the result at the time of recording. Obviously, Huddersfield QPR drew earlier today, last minute. Equaliser for QPR, which is a big result for us. So it's a game we have to win. Really, we do. We've got yourselves, we've got Huddersfield and Birmingham that are our next three league games, I believe. And then we play Leicester, which, yes, we got a draw out of them at home. Well, we got a draw. We got a 1-1 draw, which was a great result for us. But obviously, at Leicester, is going to be a different proposition. So, Wednesday, you're coming, guys. Are you positive? Are you looking at it? So obviously, you're looking at the league going second from bottom, Sheffield Wednesday. We're 10th. We're 3 points off. If you've got real aspirations to get to the playoffs, it's a game you're looking to win, isn't it?
Well, the bad news for you is we seem to be better away than at home.
Brilliant. That's a great start.
I'm sorry to break that to you. Away, we've looked really, really good the last 3 months, really. As I say, Leicester as an exception. We've pretty much held our own away. Now, who's we beat 5-1? Was it Preston? We've also done silly things like drawing 3-3 a couple of times. So we are quite open, I think, while we're away. But yeah, I mean, certainly, confidence as a Watford fan is often misplaced. There's not much point being confident being a Watford fan, I always think, because expect nothing and you won't be disappointed. However, Peter's chuckling away there because he knows that
you're the most depressing person I've ever known.
No, realistic.
Substitute the word Watford for any team and Justin would fit in very well.
Well, I'm not. I'm actually being optimistic because I honestly think that we should play well on Wednesday. I think it depends on who's available. Looks like there was a few strains and things during the match today, so it depends on who's available to be picked. But I'm confident about playing you on Wednesday, which is probably a really bad idea because you'll beat us now. I've said that. But yeah, I think that's a fair assessment, don't you, Peter?
Are you as confident, Pete?
I'm at least as confident as Justin. People have come on our Twitter account and said, God, blimey, you're being a bit miserable there, aren't you? And I've come in and joined in with the people who have said it. Yeah, no, Justin is never very, very far away from disaster predictions. Now, you've gone back the last five games. If you went back 10, and I appreciate, it, you know, it's arbitrary how far you go back. The last game we lost, which was at home on Boxing Day, which is another thing that Justin hates, by the way, Boxing Day football. We got
it's the best.
Thank you.
Especially if you're away. I mean, we went to Coventry, lost 2-0, but yeah, you know.
We haven't been away for so long on Boxing Day. I hate Boxing Day football. Sorry, carry on.
Anyway, other than Boxing Day, we haven't lost in 10 or something like that. And we were doing really well. The run that we're talking about absolutely started with you, because we hadn't won away since February. And we, after the game against you on the next week, we went and won away at Swansea. And since then, we haven't lost away. So I think we will be difficult to beat. The good news for you guys is in the last 11 games, plus today, actually, because obviously that's in the cup, and also plus Chesterfield, also in the cup, we've not kept a clean sheet. We are not capable of keeping a clean sheet. And the 89th minute against Southampton today, when we thought we've broken that hoodoo, nah, no, we hadn't. And it was a great strike from Stuart Armstrong, fair play to him. But, you know, one of those things, and it brings up a replay. Everybody loves those, don't they? I think we look good away a little bit more, because what tends to happen, obviously, in the home games is teams will be urged on by their fans, look to try to dominate. And we haven't got oodles of pace, but we suddenly cut through players with some technical ability, rather than, you know, when we were playing earlier on in the season and teams were dropping deep, we were struggling to break them down a little bit, as we did with you guys. You know, it took until the 70-something minute and a substitution and a Colombian international to come on and break you down, because he can find those little jinks. He's only about that big normally, you know, in real life. So he had to kind of find those little slots. But since then, not many clean sheets, but we kind of tend to seem to kind of create those opportunities and chances, and have managed to grind something out. We've added a level of determination and unity within the squad, and that's doing us better away from home, because, as I say, teams are pushing on, leaving those little gaps in, and then we're kind of trying to break into them.
So basically, the way that Sheffield Wednesday have been setting up with Danny Rule is the high press. So basically, what you've just said is you're going to invite that on, and you're just going to play around it, which we have really been effective with it. But obviously, teams have sussed us out a few times, taking our lead position in the last couple of games. How are your guys like playing on sand on a beach? Because the only reason I'm saying it is because Hillsborough is looking a bit tatty.
Oh, really?
And we've had Coventry. We played in the last two games in the cup. We drew, and in the league, and they both times moaned about they couldn't play their football on Hillsborough because of the pitch. So if you're fast flowing, pass to feet on the ground, and sort of team, then you may struggle a little bit. Not saying it's to Sheffield Wednesday's advantage either. It's not to anyone. I'm sure every team loves to play on like a snooker table type of grass. So it's just something that's been mentioned the last two weeks. It is now.
The last time we played on a pitch that wasn't very good was against our nearest and dearest rivals, which was actually, well, it was the penultimate time we played them, and we were all geared up that day to actually, you know, smash them all over the park, and they did us 1-0, and we're all complaining about the pitch, and of course what comes back is it's the same for both sides. So, you know, it's absolutely fair, but our pitch it wins awards for being so good. So it'll be interesting to see our lot play on a pitch that isn't quite so good, because, you know, our pitch is fantastic. It just is. So, yeah, not looking forward to that. That could be interesting to watch.
Our pitch is annoyingly good. It looks perfect on the last day of the season. And then the groundsman comes out, who has won awards, and he's brilliant. He's a genius. And then comes in and we're ripping it up next Tuesday. And you go, why? You know, I've got carpet that looks shabbier than that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I, There is obviously there's lots of rumours and lots of thing about our owner and chairman being a bit tight. Obviously, we've got no money for things, so he's probably not putting the little heat lamps on, you know, to encourage growth that you can see from a mile away. So I'm sure he's not doing that. He's saving a bit of money for a 30 grand a week striker that we've been rumoured to be after. Oh, but you know, all these rumours when transfer silly season January, isn't it, chaps? I mean. Yeah.
We have it all the time. It looks like the aliens are attacking in kind of Independence Day. You get, oh, it's just the light emanating from the ground. It's
The whole of West Watford is lit up in this sort of orange glow.
They are fixated on this lawn. It's ridiculous, but it's lovely, so we can't complain. But we do.
Jealous we would be, I think it would be. Jealousy.
The answer being, I don't think that will help us. We're not the biggest technical team. We're not the biggest physical team. We are more technical. You've got players like Georgie Chakfatadze, who we call Dave, for obvious reasons.
Georgian.
You know, they gave us a clue. We're calling him Georgie. I mean, other than that, we would forget. Is it Uzbekistan? I don't know. But so we call him Dave, and he's a lovely little box of tricks. You've seen what a sprayer can do, all of that. If you put them on a beach and suddenly the platform is a little bit shaky,
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
We all know away days are mint, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. New in? Order now with the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. For more information, see mcdonalds.com. See you later.
Be a great equaliser.
I'm going to take all the positives because I think at the minute we're in the position we are for results, obviously, but positives come... I'm taking everything, anything with an edge. Taking edge of anything. I know it's only Wednesday, so there's only three, four days till we play. Anything on the transfer ins and outs for Watford that we may be able to take a bit of glimpse of? I mean, forgive me, I am rubbish at pronouncing names. Rojovic. Is anyone buying him because he's your top scorer?
There are Watford season ticket holders who can't pronounce it as well as you just did after many attempts. He is an odd thing. He is 6'3", Dane, obviously of Balkan origin. Yeah. He was scoring lots of goals for Kalmar in Denmark, who they are. Nobody knew either. So we all went off and looked at lots of lovely YouTube videos of him scoring goals with, kind of in two-sided grounds, because that's what they have in Denmark. Often seemingly having a bouncy castle in the car park behind the ground for all of those people watching Danish football. Strange. And we don't know, what have we got? And basically we've got somebody who, if the ball is delivered in the right place, will score a goal. He is like the Terminator. He will just get to that ball first. However, take him outside of the box, not even Jigsaw. I mean, just not a clue as to what to do when his back is to goal. And he's not the fastest, and he's been playing in Denmark where I think the phrase kind of defending and optional are kind of fused together. And he's kind of been odd. So he's got to be the top scorer, but the least impressive player outside of the box that we've seen. He's even made almost the impossible to like Vakoun Bio, who we signed for £4.5 million more than he'd cost the previous day. We were looking at that going, what on earth's going on here? We bought him for then 5.8 million. He was so good that we sent him back on loan again. And we thought, oh, he's come back. We all like him now because he works hard. He does the bits and bobs and the straightforward stuff. Whereas our goal-scoring fella, who we just come on our podcast and our phone-ins and stuff and just go, he just scores goals. That's all he does. You know, I imagine he probably goes into the kitchen, you know, in the morning to try and make himself cornflakes or something, he's unable to do so because he can do nothing other than scoring a goal. So we'll see. You'll either be an absolute pain in the arse or do absolutely nothing.
And on the flip side of that, we've got a player, or should I say, you've got a player that is loaned to us who is probably the exact opposite. He can't score.
Would this be Mr. Fletcher?
Yeah. It is Mr. Fletcher. So he's getting a bit of stick from Wednesdayites. Some are coming around to the fact that he does put a lot of effort in. He does put himself around a bit. He's had a couple of efforts, but he's just not got that. And if anyone looks up his Wikipedia or Transfer Market or anything like that, that he's scored, I think it's 7 goals in 25 years or something daft like that. He's just not. And we are desperate for a striker. We are desperate for somebody to put the ball in the back of the net. But look, we can't afford anybody. I mean, you sold Pedro. Yeah, I think you made 60 million, didn't you, in the summer? Something daft like that over the people you sold and then signed. We'd love to. We haven't done 60 million forever, probably.
Right. We bought 60 million in. We spent 50 grand on Tom Ince. We spent, I think, Rajovic might have been just shoved 2 million. I don't really even know his fee.
Somewhere between 1.3 and 1.8 seem to be the reports. I think it's 1.8, according to my kind of exchange rates.
So we didn't actually reinvest that money in any way, shape or form, to be honest with you. With regards to Ashley Fletcher, it feels like we signed him when I was about 12. he's one of these players that came in when we seemed to be... I mean, we were spending money like water when he came in. There's all these players that were coming in. He was just one of them. Before we started recording, I had a look, and he played for us 3 times. He's played for you 22 times, so he's definitely more your player than ours. If you'd like to just finish paying him off, have him, please, because I can't see him ever putting on a yellow shirt and playing for Watford ever again. I don't know when his contract expires, but whoever his agent is, fair play. You done well there, mate. I don't have any memories of Ashley Fletcher because I don't think I ever saw him play. I don't think I was at any of the 3 games.
I was at 2 of the 3 games because they were in the League Cup. Stoke. And we played. It was Stoke and Crystal Palace. And he scored in both games never got played. So, you know, clearly somebody at the training ground was going, well, you know, we don't like these people who all they do is score goals. We'll shift you out. I'll go and buy him. Yeah, that works out well. I'm far too cynical about Rajovic. We think he's actually working with his back to goal now and working to try to improve that part of his game, but he's got a very low base to build it up from. Ashley Fletcher, he's a little bit like you mentioned there, Tom Ince. You look at Tom Ince's minutes and to goals and assists, he's done really well, but he's being played in little cameo fits and starts. He's never getting a chance. As I say, he literally played 2 full games. The 3rd game, he played for 27 minutes for Watford and then never darkened our door again, has been sent to New York and Sheffield and wherever else he can to try to get some game time. It's just a shame sometimes there's those players who just seem to, you know, kind of be, well, I used to be at Man United and West Ham and what's happened, and they can never stop feeling sorry for themselves. I get the feeling that might be a little bit of the case here.
Well, I'll keep it on the same sort of vein. I'm going to say a name to you guys that you're going to probably say, fantastic, great, shouldn't have left the club. Almen Abde. Now, Almen Abde is a bit of an enigma. He came with big promise. Was his nickname the Doctor?
The Professor.
Professor. Apologies, wrong. The Professor. So he came with, obviously, a lot of fanfare. We'd taken Forestieri and Padil previously already. We'd got Padil on loan and then he made permanent. My lad's first player that he really liked, and he's a bit older now, but he's the one, he had his name on the back of his shirt, really took to him. But Almen Abde came with big promise. Didn't really work out for him at Sheffield Wednesday, and he's become a bit of a, I was going to say joke, not a joke, that's the wrong thing, but he's become a bit of a, if it was like 7 years ago, a meme or a gif or something like that, you know, back in the day, it'd have been one of those. What was your memories of him? And He's still alive. He's still alive, everyone. He's still alive. Memories of him. Sorry. Obviously, for Wednesday fans, he didn't. He very rarely started. Very rarely.
Ash, you are putting this so nicely. Most Wednesday fans I know go, "What the hell did you do?" That was there?
All right, then.
So, Alman Abdi was, you know, came in and as a midfielder was fantastic. He came in when we first got the Pozzo family came in and took us over. We went from having literally kind of, are we going to get to play this week? You know, that level of hand to mouth kind of existence. And who have we got? Oh, we've gone and signed Chris Iwalumu. You know, who did all right for us in fairness, but it was kind of like there gives you a jump on the standard of it. And suddenly we were bringing in all of these kind of lone players. We got no idea who they were. They bonded as a team after a little while, especially when there was an away game at Charlton where we were down to 10 men because Forestieri got sent off. Kel's surprise, I can hear all the Wednesday fans saying. And we won it with a free kick from Alman Abdi, and that was one of the things he did. He scored free kicks. You know, he didn't just deliver them, he scored them and was effective at doing so. So we'd get a ball outside the box and we would sit there in almost expectation. And he scored the winner there. Today, 3 or 4 hours ago as we record this, we scored in the fifth minute against Southampton, our first home free kick direct since Alman Abdi in 2016, and he made it a common thing. So we loved him on set pieces, but wow. he was a classy player. He was a smooth operator. He had got pretty much the best passing range that we'd seen, but he was in a team that was playing extremely well initially under Gianfranco Zola. We suddenly got this kind of combination of players put in to kind of mould and find out what happens. Just as that was happening, Troy Deeney was allowed out of Nick, not out of Forest Green Rovers, but out of Nick, very similar, but better food in Nick, obviously. But you go, he got basically brought in and suddenly we've got a spearhead up front. We got somebody like Matty Vidra, who was a speed freak. I mean, he just run on. And so Alman could either hit Deeney and then he'd spin and go in, or he'd bounce off him and spin him and go in, or he could just play him in. So sometimes those kind of players need to have people who are so on their wavelength. And we were just like going, my God, this is like football from the gods. This is ridiculous. And that all culminated in what ended up becoming our, you know, kind of the commentary for our podcast name, you know, Do Not Scratch Your Eyes, where Deeney scored that ridiculous goal. So we all look back at those wondrously. He stayed and was part of the team that 2 years later got us up, and he had a season in the Premiership. But once we were in the Premiership, we had pragmatism takes over. And it was right, we're going to go 4-4-2 and we're playing you at right back. And surprise, surprise, he was not a right back. All right, we'll play you right midfielder. No, he'd never skin anybody. So you kind of saw that if he's a square peg and he's put into a round hole, there is no deviation. You have to build the team around him, otherwise it won't be that. And from what I heard, he also, because he was out, I mentioned 2 years later we got up, he was out the middle season of that, which was horrendous, and we realized what we hadn't got. And of course, when he came to you guys, he had his injury issues, and so I don't think you ever saw the best of what he was capable of. And I know for a fact that he was really, really sad about that, but I don't think he wanted to leave Watford at the time, personally. And I think if you're going to do something like that, you do what Danny Poodle did, which is you commit to the move and make it and go, this is where I am now. And I'm going to make the absolute best of this. And that seems to be what came across.
Yeah, 100%. I'd agree with you there. He didn't. I think I think he scored in a pre-season friendly for Wednesday. My memory's shocking. Against St Mirren, I think it was. Scored a cracking goal. Absolutely really good goal. And we thought, we've got a player here. We really have. But then that was it. I can't even remember really any other outstanding game. It was that, not that bad, unfortunate. It was that unfortunate because obviously what you've just said there, Pete, no doubt a gifted, brilliant player. And we should have got that player for whatever reason. If he wasn't 100% committed to coming to Sheffield Wednesday, then you're already onto a bit of a bad start, aren't you?
Absolutely. And there's no reason to feel sorry for him, because once he left you, obviously, with his injury, he went basically touring around the world with his incredibly good-looking now wife. Then basically kind of as COVID came out, decided he was going to go home. She instantly got pregnant, and they've got, you know, lovely little Swiss children running around the place. I mean, he's happy as anything. I mean, if you have somebody who turns up and doesn't do it for you, what are you going to think?
Well, I mean, good luck to him. And obviously, didn't work out for him. That's it. I'm gonna bring it back to Wednesday night, and I'm gonna ask you for a prediction. A little bit. What I usually do is just ask the guests just to go through how they think the game will pan out. But obviously, there's two of you there, so I'm just gonna ask you for a prediction. How you think it may go, and just see if either of us are gonna get it correct. Go on, Justin. Because I always go positive, and we lose most of the games.
If you want me to predict how the game will go, I'll go on how away games seem to be going, which is we concede incredibly early to a goal that you just go, what were you doing there? And then we kind of learn from that mistake and charge on, and invariably we will have a draw or win the game. I think we're going to win. I don't think we'll lose. We'll probably draw or win. I don't think we're going to lose. Famous last words. I think
I'll crop that one.
Please do. I think it all depends on who's available, really, and the team that's selected. So I would be, I think you'll score because, like Peter said, clean sheets to us. You know, we need a new washing machine, I think. So I think it's probably going to be a 2-1, 3-1 Watford would be my guess. It's my guess.
Pete?
Yeah, I wouldn't be too far away from that. I mean, Justin put up a thing on Twitter the other day saying these, just showing a picture of laundry and just saying, just in case you'd forgotten what clean sheets look like. And several people came back and went, hold on, don't have a go at the team. We're really enjoying it. And it was like, yeah, we kind of get it, but really you're enjoying the conceding of early goals? And it was like, yeah, whatever, we'll take anything. We're Watford, for crying out loud. So I could see, yeah, first of all, I think you'll score because of exactly that reason. The gravitational lure of our net will sort of cause something to fly in. If not that, Ryan Porteous will give it a good go at centre back, giving you a chance or two. And it'll be interesting. We have signed, obviously, when we're talking about the transfer window, there we have signed Emmanuel Dennis, who was an enfant terrible at Bruges and at Cologne. Cologne wanted to get rid of him because he threw a hissy fit and ended up leaving the club on the basis of someone was sitting in his favourite seat on the coach. That's the level of tip we're talking about here. He came to us, did really well in the Premiership, and then obviously, like most of the Western Hemisphere, Nottingham Forest signed him. And then he's been out on loan in Turkey, not got on. He played a little bit today. We've signed him. He could be devastating, but he is about as fit as I am. You know, he needs to. So I doubt very much if he'll be pulling up trees or anything on the beach at Hillsborough. Put it that way.
I wouldn't like that. He won't want to be running in sand. That's
No. I'd go a 2 or a 3-1. I think we're doing sufficiently good work, and we've got enough to do something. That being said, the most Watfordy of Watfordy things is going, well, we think we are going to do well looking at the league table, and then suffering ignominy and kind of just losing stupidly. So don't be surprised if that happens either. But we'll be positive as well. What do you think is going to happen, Ash?
I'm always positive. I'm thinking it's a game at home. We've said if we're going to get out of this, it's his home form that's going to get us out. We'll take bonuses away. We've got Huddersfield away in a couple of weeks, so that'll be an away game we're going to look at. So home form and home games is going to be where we're at. We've played Coventry in the last 2 weeks, lost 2-1 and drew in the cup 1-1. Obviously, the cup is a bit thing, a different team, everyone. But I am pretty positive, I've got to say. I think Danny Rule has got the team playing really well. We press high. The team, we've got some exciting youngsters. We've got Gassama, Masaba and Kadamatri up front who we haven't seen this like a trio of youngsters that are playing for the first team for God knows how many years at Wednesday. And it's good for us Wednesdayites to see it. We've got pace. That's one thing that we have instilled this season. We've got pace. As take Ashley Fletcher out of that, obviously. But Kadamatre, Gassama, Masaba, even Windass has got a bit with him who's thing. So I'm going to go for a 2-1 Wednesday win. I take what you say, guys, on the clean sheet, and us as well. We have got a bit of a nightmare in us. Our centre halves have been solid. It all depends which one. If Bambo Diaby plays, he has got a bit of a nightmare in him to gift a goal, it's seen. So I'm going to go 2-1 Wednesday. And I think we'll score. I think we'll score first. You'll equalise and then we'll get one in the 71st minute. How was that?
Very precise.
And then in the same form of Watford, we'll Wednesday it up and we'll lose 4-0. So there we go.
Presumably, I mean, and I'm saying this with a fair amount of confidence, as the Kadamatre can't be a very renowned name. Is he related to the former Everton player, Danny Kadamatre?
He is. It's his son. It's his eldest son. He's got two, both at the, well, his youngest son is at the Sheffield Wednesday Academy as well. So, yeah, he's come through. This season has been his breakthrough season. He's 18. He's scored three goals now in about eight games. So he knows where the back of the net is, and he has been a revelation for us this season. Really has. He's done really well. So it's good to see, like I say, an 18-year-old that's playing week in, week out as well now, really, for Sheffield Wednesday. Well,
over the last few years, we suddenly went through a stint of signing famous players' sons, and that worked well. But at one point, we could have been with the team saying Bergkamp, what's his phrase there? Pochettino, Wise, you know, old Dennis Wise's little, you know, kind of kid. Another one who, No, they didn't work. So good luck for Kadamatre Jr.
It's very, very, very highly rated Sheffield Wednesday. So we'll see. Guys, Pete, Justin, thank you very much for joining me on this episode of Hello From The Other Side. Wednesdayites, if you liked what you saw, subscribe, like, all the usual. You know, they're all on the bottom here of the screen. It's been a pleasure. I'll see you Wednesday night. Thank you very much for joining us.
Cheers, guys. Take care.
Cheers.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing, ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points back of the net. Le Bosch. Ultimate delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.